It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This weekend, the third annual What About Men Summit will be taking place at the University of Iowa. This started in 2018 with a goal of exploring the many ways that our cultural idea or ideal of masculinity negatively impacts boys, men, and all of us. And more importantly, to give attendees the tools to explore their own authentic masculinity or ways to support and educate boys and men. The keynote speaker for this year's conference is Craig Biden. He is an educational and motivational speaker, the creator of the EduPunks podcast. He's also a health education and wellness promotion specialist at University Health Services at the University of Massachusetts, Boston. And he's on the line with us today. Hello, Craig.
Hi, how are you today?
Great. Thank you so much for being here today. And the focus of your keynote address on Saturday in Iowa City is going to be what makes a man. Tell us more about what you'll be talking about.
So the talk is going to focus on the many layers of masculinity and what it looks like to perform a masculinity today. One of the things that I have kind of talked on a lot over the last few years is how men hide, and we hide a lot of ourselves out of survival. We hide a lot of ourselves for the sake of making sure that we can succeed and that we can thrive as men without bearing a lot of ourselves publicly or letting people see some of the things that are deep within us that maybe give us anxieties or we look at as faults because of the stereotypes and stigmas that society has placed on men in general. So I try to shed those layers of stigma, try to help men embrace the complex identity of masculinity, because that is just a big reality, is that a lot of us hide, and a lot of us hide in general. It's not even just men. It's a lot of people have to hide things just to perform how we present in society.
Tell me more about the things that you feel men are hiding. What are some of the things that you think that men in our modern society don't feel comfortable expressing?
First and foremost, our feelings. I am a pretty emotional person, and so I find that when I share a lot about myself, there are generally two reactions. Sometimes it makes other people pretty uncomfortable, especially other men uncomfortable, or it can actually create some form of comfort and camaraderie there. And so I feel like if we're able to tap into our emotions and help men share our emotions a little bit clearer, communicating our needs and actually learning how to be a person that can actually like share what's going on internally, it's going to clear up mounds of mental health issues, mounds of potential suicide issues, because like one of the leading causes of loss in college is suicide, and men tend to be a large number of those individuals. And I try my hardest to share my stories of survival so that I can help other men, explicitly other men, be more comfortable sharing those parts of themselves. I also feel like there is this piece of masculinity that tells us we have to be tough all the time, and trying to unlock that softness that's within us so that we can actually like feel authentic all the time instead of feeling like we have to live up to society's like definition of a hard man who's just always rigid all the time. And instead we can like unlock this like softness that's within us. Like a lot of men are pretty delicate, and I am a pretty delicate person in my authentic self. And I think it's important to kind of unlock that so that we can be a more effective influence on society and try to set better examples for men at large.
If you spend time with little boys, it's clear that boys don't have any trouble expressing their emotions and feeling strong feelings. They're like all children. So I'm curious, if you can tell me a little bit about your personal journey. I mean, when do you think that started to feel like something you couldn't do?
Oh, boy. So when I was really young, I was adopted, and I was adopted into a family of military folks. And my brother is now a cop. And so like a lot of my expectations were I was going to go into the military. College was never in my conversation. And so the expectation of me was you're going to the military. This is your life. And in my brain, I was like, I am so not that. Like, I don't think I could make it. And that was pretty young, honestly. Like, I think when I was in middle school is when I was really, I was causing disruption. I was never able to sit still. I was one of those ADHD kids that was diagnosed very young. And so, like, I shared a lot of myself for better or for worse. And it was kind of clear that I was kind of all over the spectrum in terms of my interest, in terms of what I would use my energy for. But one of those things that I was never really good at was putting on that strong, like, mentality, that strongman mentality. It was just never a part of me. And one of the early conversations I had with my dad when I told him that I wasn't going to pursue going into the military is I remember him being deeply disappointed in me. And that was one of those things where I felt really bad, because education is really important to me. And I wanted to go get a college degree because no one in my family had a college degree. And so my idea of being myself and performing as I am and the man that I am was going to get further my education straight out of high school. I tried to put on to take off the masks and try to be a strong man, but it was never in my mentality to be that way. And then throughout college, I started to unlock those little bits of myself through mentorship and through like getting to know other men that I would become more comfortable with my masculinity. But pretty early on, I could tell that it was not within me to have like some of those like societal norms. I was always kind of a queer little kid running around, not really knowing much about the world except for what was going on inside my brain.
And you felt like those parts of yourself were rejected or wrong?
Yeah, and especially within my family. And so like those are the people that were like the closest to me. And even around other men, like I was okay at sports. But I had a really hard time relating to other men who wanted to go drink or wanted to like have relationships. And I was just kind of like, I'm good doing my own thing.
Well, you did go to college, but you mm-hmm. found that early in your career, you were a high school teacher for a few years. Mm-hmm. You found that you were not happy, and that led to some really destructive behavior. Can you tell me what was going on?
Yeah, for sure. I actually get into this in the keynote that I'll be doing this weekend. One of my negative coping mechanisms throughout college became drinking. And I got into a cycle of drinking that was developed through a lot of depression and through a lot of anxiety, like to perform. I was in a pretty intense English and writing program at Oregon State University, and I wanted to be the best. I wanted to be better than everyone. I wanted to write. I wanted to interpret. I wanted to be at the top of my class, and I wasn't performing well, and so I would drink. And that was really frustrating because I also really wanted to teach at my peak potential. And when I was teaching after I graduated, and even during my like full year of teaching practicum, I would come home and to unwind, I would have like, you know, 4-5 drinks, which is not great in retrospect. And so I started to develop an actual problem, and it took me a real big wake up call to stop. And because I would show up to work still pretty hungover and not taking care of myself. And I had to take a hard look in the mirror and just be like, this is not the person I want to be. This is not how I want to cope. This is not how I want to take care of myself. It's unhealthy. And I want to actually find a stronger, healthier way to take care of myself. And now I'm 7.5 years sober, which is really cool. And I'm taking care of myself much better these days.
So you had this personal journey, but what What led you to share this with other people? Was there a moment where you thought, you know what, I am not alone and people need to hear about what I've experienced?
I think graduate school is really what taught me that. And I went to graduate school at UMass Amherst. So when I was getting sober, I decided I need to leave. So I left Oregon and I've been in Massachusetts almost the entire time I've been sober. And so like this has been like me starting fresh. And in graduate school, I worked with a man named Tom Schiff, who started the Men of Masculinity Center at UMass Amherst. And he was the first guy to tell me, Craig, you have a story here. Like I would share so much with him and he's like, people can learn from you. And I never really thought about that. Like I was just like, I like to tell stories. I like to talk. I like to share things. I hope people learn from them. But he was like, no, you could do this. And so I started to tap into more of my stories and more of my life that I felt could help. So I share a lot about ADHD, growing up with depression and anxiety, being diagnosed with bipolar disorder. So there's a lot of layers here that I kind of peel back so that folks can see, like, once you get through some of the layers of who I am, hopefully you can still see that I am a functioning human being that succeeds, that does good work. And I have all this other stuff happening at the same time, but there are ways to manage it. And there are ways to actually like thrive and survive as a human being who's been through a lot of stuff. And so that's really where I got a good handle on it. And I just started speaking at conferences and at I would like apply or propose presentations and I would get in and then people would be like, hey, come to my campus. And then that's kind of how it has worked for me, I guess.
Here's an email from Jay in Des Moines. He said, I'm a man in my early 40s who's dealt with mental health issues for around 25 years now. Over the years, I've tried through both intellectual and creative means to understand how best to cope and overcome my issues. As of yet, I haven't developed a foolproof method or system for myself, but I have come to understand that cultivating a profound sense of self-awareness is vital for anyone to have a chance to overcome mental illness. In the case of men in particular, though, I've come to understand that ego is a massive hindrance to us where it concerns mental illness. I'd love to hear your guests speak on the importance of men putting aside expressions of ego in order to be more healthy in terms of mental well-being. And I don't know if you agree with his assessment or not, Craig, but I know that encouraging men to be honest about their mental health needs is a big part of the work that you do. What's your response to Jay?
Honestly, the word self-awareness really hit me because that's one of the things that I think is like so important to a lot of the work that I do and a lot of the work that even like my colleagues do, because I don't think you're able to do good work until you kind of get over yourself to some degree. So that ego part plays in there as well. But there's a lot of like knowing your body. This is a lot of what I teach my students here at UMB. There's a lot of knowing your body, knowing yourself, and being able to be self-reflective so that you can actually like put those parts of yourself aside that are possibly more self-serving and actually put the needs of others up first or at least uplift them to some degree. And so I think what Jay's hitting on is honestly a pretty fantastic point, because men have these thick, hardened egos, and being able to actually like bust through them to some degree was even something I struggled with, especially a lot in college, and then was able to like kind of thrive through during graduate school and now as a professional.
When you're talking to men who are college age today, I mean, it does feel like the world is changing somewhat. Do you feel like these masculine pressures, this male box that we put men in, do you feel like there's an evolution taking place?
I do. I think there's two ways that I interact with men on my campus specifically and just at large. There are men who are very well adjusted, who are understanding the ways that the world works and where they fall into it, and kind of just need like reminders along the way, need a little bit of support along the way. And then there are the men who just need a little bit of coaching. I don't think there are a lot of, maybe I'm just a little bit sheltered in my current space right now, but a lot of the men that I've interacted with at least have some concept of where they land in society. And I find that being able to just tap into where they're hoping to like succeed a little bit better or thrive a little bit better, that's where I'm kind of like pushing them to think outside of themselves a little bit more. I do a lot of work with our athletes here on campus, and they tend to be a little bit in their own silo. And so when I go and work with them, I'm able to have them break down some of these walls because they want to succeed. They want to do well, but they haven't had some of these conversations before. And so I break those down a little bit, and I try to do it in a way that isn't like off-putting. It isn't in, like necessarily like intense or like telling them what they believe is incorrect or whatever, but just trying to like open up that conversation because some of them have never had it before. And those who have just kind of need a little bit more of a like refresher every now and again. But yeah, the evolution is huge right now.
We only have about a minute left, and I have a lot of questions I would love to ask you, but you are going to also be doing a breakout session on male wellness. And just in 30 mm-hmm. seconds, can you give me an idea of some of the really important things that you think men should be thinking about with regard to their own wellness?
I think mental health is a big part of how we perform as men, like making sure that our mental health stuff is taken care of. And also one of the big things that I try to hammer home is a lot of our wellness is tied to exercise, eating, and just how we take care of our bodies. That is a huge part of just success in general, but also as a man, because we get like kind of down some bad rabbit holes sometimes. And I just want to like do a little bit of a refresher.
Are you also going to be talking about relationships? That's an area where I know some men feel really isolated, have a hard time connecting with other men.
Relationships with other men and with whomever you're trying to have sexual relationships with, communication needs, all of that stuff I'm going to be talking about in the talk as well.
All right. Craig Biedemann, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too. Craig Biedemann is an educational and motivational speaker. He'll be at the What About Men Summit, which is coming up on Saturday at the University of Iowa Memorial Union from 9 to 3. It is a free event and registration is still open. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe.